name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
From today's Gospel, Mark chapter 10, verse 17, the question asked of Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" That was not really the question the rich young man was asking. For when Jesus says in reply, "Do you know the commandments?" the young man replies that he has kept them all since his youth. In other words, he is a devout Jew who has kept the covenant. Furthermore, he is rich, which in those days was considered a sign of God's blessing. We think it's a sign you're either clever, come from a rich family, or have done something wrong. But in those days, it was considered a blessing, a sign that God blessed you. And that is why the disciples said afterwards, "Then who can be saved?" In their eyes, this young man was destined for heaven. He kept the covenant, he prayed, and he had riches. But Jesus saw it differently. No, the real question the young man was asking was, "What more do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" You see, with all his wealth and good living, he already knew it wasn't enough. He already saw that just being rich and keeping the covenant didn't satisfy him spiritually. With all his wealth and good living, he knew he was still missing something. And here is the reality of the situation. The covenant between God and his people was established long ago to keep them faithful, but it had become just a set of rules. That wonderful relationship between God and his chosen people had become just a keeping of rules. Go to the temple, go to the synagogue, pray certain times of the week, follow the commandments and the rules. And life gets like that for us too, doesn't it? We keep the rules to keep life going. And so this young man had kept them all his life, and he still did. And when you think about now, in that time, the sign of God's blessing was not seen in a holy life, but in a wealthy life. Rich in possessions, but not spiritual riches. So Jesus says, "Go sow what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." And then he adds, "Come follow me." But, as we know, it was too much to ask, and he went away, that young rich man. We know the story, and we all assume we are not like him, because who among us is young and wealthy? We might be young, but we haven't got the wealth yet. So when we look at the first reading from the prophet Amos chapter 5, we see a similar theme. The prophet is warning Israel to change their ways and return to the keeping of the covenant, not as a keeping of rules, for they did that, but in the spirit of that relationship of thanks and gratitude to their Father God. However, it is the epistle from Hebrews chapter 3 that gives the real meaning to all these readings today. The writer of the Hebrews describes Jesus as the apostle and high priest of our confession. He then contrasts Jesus with Moses and says that Moses was faithful in God's house. Moses, of course, was the architect of the old covenant and is symbolic of that covenant. And by referring to Moses as being faithful in God's house, the epistle contrasts him with Jesus, who is, of course, in our eyes greater than Moses. And the writer says that Moses was faithful in God's house as a servant, but Jesus is faithful in God's house as a son. And so we now have the difference between the old covenant and the new. Last week, in my sermon, I referred to the church as the bride of Christ, one of the wonderful images we find in the New Testament. Today we have another image of the church, the image of a house, We are his house, says Hebrews, if we hold fast our confidence and pride in our hope. Now, parishes like ours meet in houses like this, houses of God. And so the image of a house is easy to understand, but Hebrews applies it to us as a household, not just a building. House of God, body of Christ, bride of Christ, I could go on. Wonderful images that confirm our life as a congregation, as well as the whole church throughout the world. Now, when Hebrews presents this image, it's important to go back to the beginning of Hebrews, and you may remember the epistle opens with these words, which we hear at Christmas every year. At various times in the past, and in various different ways, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets. But in our own time, these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. This is the point behind the comparison between Moses and Jesus. The mystery of Christ, especially his death and resurrection, is the final revelation and realization of God's salvation, first promised to Abraham, and then codified by Moses in the commandments and in the covenant. So the epistle to the Hebrews is describing Jesus as apostle and high priest, that is, the one who is sent, the meaning of the word apostle, to offer the perfect sacrifice of his life as our great high priest. Through him, man comes to God, and we receive every blessing and grace first promised in the Old Covenant. And all of us know we have been blessed and received grace in our lives, even though sometimes it seems a bit thin or a bit dim. But we know we are blessed. That's one of the reasons why we come to church. And so you see, the writer of the Hebrews is providing this story about our relationship with God, beginning in the Old Covenant, now climaxed through Jesus, the high priest who was sent from God. And our response, therefore, must be the opposite to that rich young man who went away sorrowful. We must not go away. We must freely give of ourselves, which the young man could have, but the challenge was too much. Going right back to the patriarch Abraham, salvation is constantly presented as a free gift of God flowing from his mercy and love. And therefore our response to that free gift is the gift of ourselves in mercy and love to our Father. On Sinai, the covenant made between God and his chosen people is the significant point in the Old Testament. It is the conclusion of what was promised to Abraham and the beginning of the law. But especially on Sinai, the people of Israel were made the possession of the Lord. As Exodus says, a kingdom of priests and a holy people. And they were charged to live like that in faithfulness. But we see in this rich young man how faithfulness becomes just a keeping of rules and thinking that life is all about what you have. And Israel's response was not always faithful down through the years. But we, the people of the new covenant, we inherit all that, both the covenant and the promise. And we are now the ones called to be faithful and not to turn away, but to follow the apostle and high priest of our confession. And of course, my dear brothers and sisters, that is the whole purpose and point of our stewardship appeal this month. It might, of course, seem like just an appeal for the parish budget to stop us going into deficit and to keep the show on the road, so to speak. But you and I know it is both those things and more, because it is really about our response to Christ and to God's blessing in your life. If we take the Epistle to the Hebrews image of a house, we have no problem understanding that our church building is a house that has needs and also requires our support, like any house. But we know it's not just the building, don't we? It's about the community. It's about the ministry. It's about the people. Hebrews says, we are that house. Therefore, together, in here, in this place, we are the house of God. And our commitment to this house, both the building and its ministry, reflects that we understand that we all make up the house, which is All Saints Church. We also understand that by our response, we show that we are not the ones who turn away like that rich young man whose life centered on possessions. And above all, we know that we could indeed answer his question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.